Cleaning Nation, welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. As always, we are going to start the show by thanking you for being the best audience in the existence of the face of the earth. I love talking with you people. I love helping you. I love interacting with you. Thank you for sharing, telling a friend, subscribing, rating, reviews, all the cool things that you do. Keep it up. We absolutely love you, and it's an honor to serve. That said, today we are chatting with Janice Marie Resendez from Sparkle, a cleaning company. Sparkle is brand new in the Denver, Colorado area. Janice, so glad to have you on the show. What is shaking in your world today?
Mike, thank you so much for having me. I'm loving everything that you're doing and just the value that you put into us as individuals. We're very grateful for you. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, what a sweet, kind lady. I was going to give you the fake coaching before, but now I feel like I'm going to have to give you the good stuff because you're being such a nice human being. What made you decide to wake up from your normal life and go crazy and open a cleaning business?
Absolutely. So what made me wake up? I've been a stay-at-home mom for over 20 years. My husband and I have been married 25 years. We have 7 children that we're very proud of. And as a stay-at-home mom, a lot of times people think that, oh, you're a stay-at-home mom because you can afford it, which is exactly the opposite. We've made huge sacrifices. And everyone that I know that's a stay-at-home mom has made huge sacrifices to just do what they believe is best for their family. And I was on a walk with my children one day, and it suddenly dawned on me that as I was walking by a 7-Eleven, that if I wanted to stop and get a Gatorade and a pack of gum, it wasn't in my budget.
Well, yeah, you've got 7 kids. That's a $38 purchase. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. Go ahead.
Right? Exactly. And so, you know, right in that moment, it just fell on my shoulders, that real sense of financial disempowerment, if that's the word. I felt like I had, and it wasn't that, you know, like my husband was keeping money from me or anything like that. It was just this, as an individual, I really wanted a sense of financial empowerment, but at the same time, I wanted to continue to do what we believe is best for our family, which was me staying home with the children and home educating them for over 20 years. And so I really needed to create an opportunity to do that. And stay-at-home moms can't, you know, or stay-at-home parents can't tell the breadwinner, hey, you got to be home on time so that I can leave to go to my job in the evening. Just doesn't work out. And so me starting a commercial cleaning company would give stay-at-home moms the opportunity to come work with me side by side from 6:30 to 8:30 or from, you know, 8:30 to 10:30, whatever works for her schedule and her family.
Wow. Well, first of all, I got to tell you, some of my favorite human beings in the world are entrepreneurs and specifically owners of cleaning companies. And right up there, maybe even above, as I was raised by one, are single moms. Because again, my mom worked her tail off to raise me with not a lot of opportunity. And you are both of those wrapped up in one. So I'm very excited to help. And I got to say, just take a moment to acknowledge what you've done in terms of raising 7 children, you know, stay-at-home moms. Like, good Lord, I'm guessing your husband goes to work to take a break. Like, I just that job of, yeah, like, I don't, yeah, I've got a 19-year-old who's obviously out of the house, and then I've got a 2-year-old, and it's a lot of work. And 7 is, I don't know how to say it other than you're a better human being than I am. So the good thing is that I will ask you to do nothing that's harder than anything you've done already. So this should be a walk in the park compared to what you've done. Now, of course, the rewards aren't going to be as good, but the input or the effort should be way, way less. All right. That said, what's going on in your world today specifically that hopefully I can help make your path a little smoother?
Well, so since we launched our company, you know, we have a couple of accounts to just barely get our feet wet, but we really want to launch hard. We really want to see that we could acquire, you know, 5 new accounts in the next 2 weeks. And since we're newbies, and I imagine there's plenty of newbies on Cleaning Nation that really want to hear, what are the baby steps? What are the, you know, we all know to, you know, to create a website and to open a bank account and that kind of thing, but to actually acquire 5 accounts in the next 2 weeks, That's what us newbies need to hear. So we need to hear from you, Mike. What can we do to do that?
All right. I don't know if you're going to like my answer, but I'm going to give it to you. Well, actually, I'm going to give quick disclaimer, and then I'll get my answer. Disclaimer is there's kind of 2 pieces to this, and I prefer what you want to talk about, which is how do I get my new accounts. The other half is the boring/important stuff of do I form an LLC? How do I open a bank account? Do I need an EIN? How about insurance? I covered that in depth on a podcast recently. I will try and link to that in the show notes page. So for everyone that's like, man, you covered all the how to get a client stuff, but I want to know the nuts and bolts. We covered that super clearly. I'm going to link to that in this episode so you guys can get to that and I won't get the angry emails, texts, tweets of, hey, why didn't you talk about that? So if it's okay with you and Cleaning Nation, we're going to skip that and just talk about how to get 5 accounts. Fair?
Perfect.
Cool. First and foremost, I'm going to say something that sounds totally self-serving, but I always want to give the best advice I can, and it's the best advice I know. First thing I would encourage you to do is join the Clean Profit Method. It is my program that's 9 steps of everything you need to do. It's all the things I wish I knew when I first started out 20 years ago. It will be an accelerated thing to everything. I don't know. Yes, we absolutely tell you how to get all of your clients. So I would start there as a foundation. That said, let's move on to the next thing. Getting accounts requires one of two things or both, time or money. I have no way to do anything without one of those two things. If you have an abundance of time, and it doesn't sound like you do with 7 children, you want to go more to the money. If you don't have an abundance of money, you have to go with more time. So that said, and there's different strategies for different things, right? If you've got a bunch of money, I'd recommend these 3 things. If you've got a bunch of time, I'd recommend another 3 things. If you have neither, I can't help. So would you like stuff that requires more time or more money? Understanding I have no tools that don't require at least one.
Okay, so I currently, and for the last 6 months in order to launch our company, have gotten up every day at 3:45 in the morning so that I can do everything I need to do for the business before I have to get the children up to home educate them. So
goodness
time
gracious.
Is where I can invest.
Wow. Well, first of all, good Lord. The reason I love entrepreneurs is there's just this sense of, you know, if it's to be, it's up to me. I got to get it done. There's not a lot of whining. There's not a lot of I can and nobody will give me and I blah, 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 blah. Just get her done. And when I hear a woman said, I'm going to wake up at 3:45 in the morning to work on, and I'm guessing, you know, you didn't go to bed early, right? You got 7 kids. So you're probably exhausted. I just, hats off to you. I don't know what else to say. That's, I feel like I work harder than most or have worked harder than most. And that's, I don't remember ever waking up consistently at that time for my business. Not that I wouldn't have, but I've never had to do that. So the fact that there's no complaints, there's no nothing, there's just, that's what I got to do. Man, I'm liking you more and more by the second. All right. So the issue is if we've got time and we're going to go with low cost, high time investment stuff, fair, with the understanding and caveat, there are other things that won't take as much. So people are going to go, you told me in other episodes not to do this stuff. I'm not saying this is for everybody in all circumstances. I'm saying this is for somebody just starting without a big budget that's got time to throw at it. Is that a fair kind of foundation to build on?
Completely.
Okay. So the short and long term. So I'm going to answer your specific question with not how I do it, but you asked a question. I want to answer it. Your question was, how do I get 5 accounts in 5 days or 5 weeks?
I gave you 2 weeks, Mike. 2 weeks. 2 weeks to do 5 accounts.
You think as a host, I would listen just a little bit and get at least one of those.
It's okay.
All right. I don't know that that would be the goal for me. I'm still going to answer the question for you, but I don't know if that would be the goal for me. And that, I'll tell you, honestly, more money wouldn't help, right? It's not like, because some of these things like, oh gosh, if we had money, we could do other options that would be better. Not the case with, if you want to get 5 accounts in 2 weeks, more money thrown at it ain't going to help. Are you doing commercial, residential? I know you're doing commercials that exclusively commercial, or are you going to do residential as well?
My goal is to do commercial exclusively so that I'm sticking to my why of being able to have an opportunity created for stay-at-home moms to be able to clean in the evenings or weekends.
Okay. I love commercial. I had a commercial cleaning company, so I'm not trying to get you off of that. I just want to be fair to all the listeners. If you had a residential cleaning company, you needed 5 accounts in 2 weeks, I think we could put together a plan I'd be very confident you'd be able to do. Commercial accounts, the good news is they're a lot bigger, right? The average residential account's probably $250 a month, and they don't get much bigger than that. Commercial, the minimum should be, I wouldn't take a commercial account for less than $250 a month, and gosh, there's $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month accounts. So obviously, if you want to grow fast, commercial is a way to do that, right? You'd have to build, you know, 100 $250 accounts to get one $25,000 a month account. That's the good news. The bad news is they don't generally happen quickly. We have to remember in any business that people buy when they want or need to buy, not when we want to sell, right? So your ability to say, hey, I need five customers in 2 weeks is zero motivation to your prospects, right? They're not going to go, well, I wasn't really interested, but I guess if you need, you know, if I'm number three of five and you really need it, I guess we'll go today, right? They don't care at all. So that said, the strategy I would use as well, and this is again what typical business owners do, is they want to deal with prospects that want to buy today, right? Certainly in the commercial realm. That's not who, and I'm going to answer your question, but that's not who I like selling to, right? I've got a whole thing when I do live speaking of the iceberg, and above the iceberg is the people that want to buy today. And it's one person that's popped their head out and done a Google search or put in an RFP, request for proposal, RFQ, request for quotation. And it's one of them and a dozen of your competitors all going for the same deal. And basically, when you're in that situation, more times than not, they're going to want to make a decision based on price, which means the low price wins. And when I say wins, I'm doing huge air quotes because it means that the low price gets the bid, but that may or may not be a win. So I am not a fan of those customers. I would rather build relationships. So like with this podcast, right? I'm sure there's a small percentage that are right now going, I need to spend a bunch of money for a coach to help me, I want to spend money to help grow. That's maybe 2% of the audience. But I'm guessing 80% of the audience in sometime next 6 months is going to be in that place. So instead of calling all of them or doing some sort of marketing saying, you need to buy right now, I just keep giving value knowing they're going to be fans. And 6 months from now, they're going to be like, man, I need help. Mike's right there. So that's generally how I would encourage you and everybody to market. It's not super fun now, but it's the most effective, quickest way to grow long term. That said, that's not the question you asked. The question you asked is not how do I get customers 2 months from now. It's how do I get a customer today, correct? Or in the next 2 weeks?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again, I said you won't like my answer, but it's the only answer I got. You are going to have to identify, say you need five customers. You are going to need to identify, I would say, between 10 and 15 customers that need services or want services right now. That makes sense? Because 100% of the people that you bid are not going to go with you. You're not going to be a fit. So I would figure, because I always over figure, I don't want to go with if everything works out perfectly, I could close 80% of them. Well, what if something doesn't work out perfectly? So I'm going to be conservative if it's me and figure, well, I can probably close a third of them. So I'm going to say if I need to close five accounts, I need to give 15 bids. So with me so far?
Yep.
Okay. And I'm also going to assume that of the people I talk to, I'm totally making this up. You'll find out the numbers. 1 in 20 to 30 are going to need a bid today or be willing to take a bid, have pain, right? Because if you call them and they're not ready to buy and you're ready to sell, my strategy would not be to try and convince people that aren't ready to buy that they should buy today. It would be to keep looking until I found people ready to buy today. Does that make sense? You could spend your time, beating up people going, well, here's where you need to buy. I'm like, I don't, we're fine. We're happy with other people. No, you're not. That's an uphill battle and it's fruitless and it's frustrating and it's really going to upset your customers. I'm not even going to help you. I would, hey, you ready to buy now? No, click. Hey, you ready to buy now? Nope. Click. Hi, you ready to buy? Times 100. And then when I get the one guy, it's like, oh my gosh, your timing's perfect. My cleaner just quit or I just threw them out. Fantastic. So I'm going to expect to have to make, I'm going to go like 30 just to be safe, right? 30 contacts to get one person to let me bid. If I figure I need 15 contacts, that's now 450. So I'm going to have to find a way to reach out to 450 people in the next 2 weeks to get that result. Any pushback or fears or concerns or things that don't make sense so far?
No, other than the how. I'm hearing identify customers. I'm hearing 30 contacts, reach out to 30. How? What's the how?
Get into the how. And I made up the 30. This isn't something I've tested.
Sure, I get that.
Yeah. Maybe it's 50, maybe it's 20, but it ain't two, right? I just don't want to give you a false expectation. You're like, I called 9 people. None of them were interested. Yep. That's how it goes. That's exactly right. So generally there's a couple ways you can do it. There's, and we got this in Clean Profit Method. I call it the time system. There's telephone, T, in-person, I, M, mail, direct mail, E, email. Let's just go one by one. Telephone is still a fine way to do commercial. It's nice. I don't think you have to worry as much about like the do not call list because they're, they're commercial. They've got their numbers out there. The problem is most of them do not want to talk to you about their cleaning business. And again, big just people are going to go, I've heard your podcast. You said you don't like this. I'm not saying this is for everybody. I'm saying this is for the person that needs five customers immediately and has a small or no budget. Okay. So this isn't what I'd coach everybody to do all the time. This is what I'm coaching you to do in this circumstance. Very different things.
Right.
So telemarketing, if you just think about it, and again, you got to do this between 8 and 5, right? 2:45 or 3:45 in the morning is fantastic that you're willing to do that. But again, customers buy when they want to buy, not when you want to sell. So if you want to sell at 4 in the morning, God bless you, but that you got to get your customers on track with.
Nobody's
that.
Buying.
Nobody. You can call them, but I don't think your results are going to be fantastic. So I'm just going to hit you with all four of the TIME, and then that should be enough. So the how would be TIME, the time method. T would be telephone. You could call, and I would just figure how many dials am I going to have to do to get, let's just say we figure we need to talk to 500 people, right? How many dials am I going to have to need to get to 500? You might have to do 4 or 5 dials, right? Maybe they don't need it, or they're blah, 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 blah. And I would just figure, well, I've got 2 weeks, so that's 10 working days. Again, because it's commercial, depending on your niche, they may only work Monday through Friday. So you can't call them on, you can call them on Saturdays and they'd be effective. Again, I'm not a huge fan of telemarketing. Please, I mean, I shouldn't say that. That's a fine strategy, but it wouldn't be my go-to strategy. Unless someone said, I need a bunch of accounts, I need them right now, and I don't have any money, telemarketing would probably be my first thing. Next is in person.
Okay.
I don't like just the door-to-door. Hi, my name is Mike. I am totally uninvited. Okay. I'd like you to stop everything that you're doing and start paying attention to me. People do that, they get burnt out, and it's not effective, right? If you need to go to 500 places, you physically can't, right? It's just, and how you're going to go to, like, well, this guy's near this guy, or this company's near this company. It's not really my good niche, or it's logistically, I'm not a fan. So I would use the telemarketing, the T, the telephone, to set up the I, the in-person. I would not just go door-to-door unless for whatever reason you had it. Like if you were for car dealerships, they're all, you know, in most cities, they're zoned, so they have to all be together. You might do that, but I promise you they're not interested. So I would, not that they're going to be interested on the phone, but at least you got a chance and you can call 100 of them a day as opposed to a car dealership. You might be able to visit 10 a day. So the in-person I would say for the results of your telemarketing. And we'll come back to the telemarketing because I'll give you a little bit more on the how. The M is mail. That's out because that costs money, right? And that would absolutely be effective if you sent out. So someone that had money but no time, hey, I need customers right away. I'd absolutely do a direct mail campaign, right? Either postcards or direct mail. Okay. There's all sorts of ways we could talk about that, but it costs about $1 a piece if you're not doing postcards, if you're doing real mail. And you might need to send out 1,000 or 2,000 pieces. So that's a $2,000 investment. And even then, trying to get it done 2 weeks is tough because you got to write the copy and get it together and get it printed and get it mailed. So great. I love direct mail because everyone thinks it's a dinosaur and it's old and they don't do it. Direct mail is, I think people are spending more money on direct mail than almost most other advertising sources. So don't be fooled. Direct mail absolutely works. I'm a big fan, but it's not going to work for what you're looking to do right now. Email is the last piece. You don't have a list, I'm assuming, right, of people that have said, hey, I'm interested. Please email me your offers. So you wouldn't be able to do that. You'd have to, it's called cold email. And cold email is different than spam. You do not want to spam people. I'm not an expert at this, but at the time of this recording, my understanding, you want to check because we always want to be legal, and I'm not claiming to be a emailing legal expert, but my understanding is it is not spam as long as they can opt out, right? So you have to give them the option of, want to stop receiving these emails? Click here to unsubscribe, and you've got your physical address there, right? There needs to be a physical address. I'm not saying this makes sense. I'm just saying that's my understanding of the law. And if that's your home, is your business, so be it. If it's if you have an office, then you can use that, but there needs to be a physical address. I'm not a huge fan of cold email, and you could buy a list of emails and just email them. I'm not a huge fan of cold. That would be called cold email. You have to make sure that you're not spamming people. And spam, there's a legal definition of spam. We don't want to do anything like that. So that would absolutely meet your, hey, I can get a lot of people in a very short time. I can send out 10,000 emails in about 2 minutes. But it's, you really get kind of in a gray area in terms of, are you spamming people? Is that, so it can be very effective. Not something I'd recommend for your first or second option, but I do want to, it's out there. You can buy a list. And again, if you don't have any money to buy a list, and a list would be like $200 or $300, $400. So it's not a ton of money, but it's more than $0. That would be the option. So all that said, I think telephone is probably the best way for you. And again, I'm not saying everyone should stop and telemarket. All of my training is how to get clients to come to you, pre-sold, ready to go. That's the best way, but it's not the best way for your question. So the last thing on that is how to telemarket. Fair? Would that be helpful if we spent a couple minutes on how to be as effective as possible on that?
Yes, agreed.
Okay. And first and foremost, the best thing I can give you is be willing to call 100 people and be told no 99 times. And be just fine with that, which is hard. Mentally, it's hard. Okay. That said, first of all, I always like, not trying to be sexist, just telling you my experience having hired and been a telemarketer. Females do better. So for whatever reason, people want to talk to, it's not as intimidating or whatever. So if you do it, you've got a 2% up, head start on if I started. So that's good. Okay. Second, always start with a pattern interrupt and don't sound like a salesperson. So a salesperson would be like, hey, Janice, this is Mike Campy with Grow My Cleaning Company. I know that you've got a cleaning company. We've got some amazing coaching problems. I'd love to, right off the bat, irrespective of what I'm saying, I sound exactly like a salesperson, right? Even you might even like me and have heard the show and immediately like, oh, this guy's a telemarketer. And you're immediately like, no, not interested. Is that a fair statement?
Agreed.
Okay. So I might start with, hey, Janice, this is Mike. What's going on?
Right.
Like, that's not super strong or powerful, but I promise I asked you a question. You're going to answer it. You're not going, hey, no salesperson's ever said, hey, Janice, this is Mike. What's going on? Promise they've had Z, unless it's one of my clients. They've never done that. So you're going to go, you're going to be wary. I don't know nothing. How can I help you? You're going to go, I don't think you can. Right. I have a huge favor and you're probably going to tell me no. And if you hang up on me, I understand. So right away, they're intrigued. They're curious. I don't sound anything like a salesperson. And we've got a conversation going. Does that make sense in terms of the pattern interrupt?
Yes, I totally get that.
Okay, so we always start with that. Never sound like a salesperson. And you'll be shocked how you'll hear this coaching because I've got clients that do it. And they'll record the calls and plan back for me so we can walk through them. And then you'll do it and go, hi, this is Janice. I'm with Sparkle, the cleaning. And you go, dang it. I just said I wasn't going to do it. But you'll do it for whatever reason. We just do it. Just like every voicemail, like, hi, this is Mike. I'm not available right now, but leave your name and number when you call and I'll get back. We have the same stupid. Why do we do that? It's ridiculous. So don't be fooled. Do the pattern interrupt. Then you've got to have an offer that's way too good to be true. Right. It's got to be like, well, I'd have to be a dang idiot not to take this. Right. Like, you know, hey, if I can, and again, if you don't have any money, it's tough. But hey, if I can have 10 minutes of your time to ask you some questions, I always go about a consultative. I don't want to go in with sales, especially for you with your new niche. I'm trying to understand this niche and I'm going to open a cleaning company and I need you to help me understand what makes you guys tick. Right. And now you have to honor that. You can't do a bait and switch. You can't tell them that's what you're coming for. And then when you show up, start hard selling them. You have to actually honor that. But you'll find A, more people will be willing to talk to you. B, if you just go in and ask questions and listen, they'll talk to you a lot. And then if you go, hey, well, I really appreciate it. We'll keep in touch. If you'd like to hear, you know, if you do those 10 times, two or three of them will say, hey, can you just give me a bid? So you won't have to sell, right? You have to keep your word. Don't ever tell them you're going to come in and not sell and then sell. But if they say, can I have a bid? Well, you don't have to tell them no. Give them a daggum bid. And then what I would do is come back later and go, hey, I've talked to 10 other people that are all in your space, right? Would you be interested in what, you know, 10 of the childcare facilities in your area are going through? Well, shoot, yeah, I'd love to hear those results. Great, let me give them to you. And then I would explain to them the solution that you've created. We found that sickness and spreading sickness and having kids out and us getting kids sick is a huge thing. And anything, so we've created a process to almost guarantee or virtually eliminate bacteria in the room. So maybe you have to come in midday or whatever the case may be. I don't know, but you're going to custom create a solution to their exact pain. And you know it's their pain because they told you it's their pain. And you'll get another two or three people to offer you a bid there. So on the telemarketing, the two keys are, one, it would be do a pattern interrupt. Two, don't sell, ask for help. And you'd be surprised if you just ask for help sincerely, a lot of people will give it to you more than you would think. And three, make the offer so good they can't refuse it. If I come in and waste your time or sell you anything or you think I've been a jerk, I'll donate $100 to your charity. I know you're going, well, that's $100 I don't want to spend. I've had zero people ever do that. Again, you have to make sure you give them value for their time. You can't come in and start selling or be a jerk, but no one's going to take advantage of it as long as you come in and ask questions and listen. You could also say, what kind of cookies do you like? I'll bake them for you. That's got a small cost associated, but not much. So those are the three steps. Pattern interrupt, ask for help, don't sell, and make it such a good deal where you're going to bring them cookies or their favorite wine or whatever it is. We're like, well, I'd have to be an idiot or a jerk not to take advantage of this. It's really nice. So that's what I'd give you. I think we're way over on time. Any questions or thoughts, or does that get you at least enough information to get you in trouble?
Mike, that was so incredible. I've taken an entire page full of notes. My fingers are sore. I've written as fast as possible. That was awesome. Thank you. I'm ready.
Well, I've got good news for you. We recorded this and it will be available for replay. So if you miss some of the notes, you can always play it back and hear your own episode. All right, let's hit the lightning round really quick. I talked way too long, but I am dying to get your perspective on some of this. Let me give you three quick questions. You're going to give three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, personal or professional?
Best piece of advice that I ever received was in starting a company and becoming an entrepreneur is get to the infrastructure and internal aspect of my why. If I can stick to an understanding of why I'm in business, then when business gets hard, I can go back to that infrastructure of the why and really stick to that, and it'll keep me going.
And being the mom of seven kids, I'm guessing your why is probably pretty easy to keep in front of your mind day to day.
Indeed. Children seldom will do what we say, but they'll always do what we do. So I have to be the number one example to them of what an entrepreneur is.
Man, when I started a podcast on how to raise children properly, you were my first guest, young lady. All right, next question. This could be interesting. I love asking this to people that just started because the answers are great. What mistake have you made so far in your very, very beginning that we can all learn from, right? I love learning from other people's mistakes. Go ahead.
Yeah, so number one mistake I've made is being too sing-songy in my elevator pitch. It became so familiar to me that it became sounding inauthentic.
Perfect. And that's another great place for pattern interrupt, which I'm sure where you got it. When someone says, what do? You go, yeah, it's nothing you'd be interested in. No one's going to go, okay. Oh. 100% of the people are going to go, I might be interested, tell me. See how that's just a pattern?
Oh, that's good.
Zero people go, you wouldn't be interested. Everyone goes, oh, I do this and this and this and this. And then you can change, you turn the tables with now begging, you wouldn't be interested. No, I'm interested. Tell me, are you sure? You're not going to laugh at me, are you? No, I won't laugh. I'm dying to hear. Now you can go right ahead and they're listening, I promise. All right, last question. What's one thing people can do personally or professionally? And I would love if you got this relating to parenting. You don't have to, but I'm dying to know selfishly. Just one idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away. Something easily, quickly, simply implementable that will improve their lives or their business, even if it's just a little bit.
One thing that people can do for Cleaning Nation right now today that will help implement their business. Did I understand you correctly?
Yeah, anything that will help them improve their lives or their business. Could be make your bed before you leave the house. It could be never raise your voice to your spouse. Could be big or small, just something that I can implement right away. Not something like build a 5-year plan. That's not a quickly implementable item.
Yeah, I would say every path that you cross, no matter where it's at, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's at the public library, whether it's at the post office picking up your mail, if you really recognize that you could look into someone's soul through their eyes, when you say, hi, how are you, that it's not sing-songy, you're not just saying it, you're literally looking into their soul and looking to heal them by asking them genuinely and authentically, how are you today? You will make an impact in every person's life that you cross. Form the habit of doing that, of being intentional.
Gosh, that was way better coaching than what I gave you on the phone call. That's so advanced, I don't want to say it because a lot of people can't pull it off. But you are so right. You're absolutely right. Very few people get actually listened to in their lives. And that skill of just going in and going, tell me about your life, and asking questions and truly listening, you're absolutely right. We'll bring value to the people's lives that you're talking to. Worst comes to worst, you just go around the earth giving value. Best comes to best case scenario, which you'll find happens often, is people will want to spend more time with you and go, hey, when can we talk again? Maybe you could give me a bid. I would like to have you in my life. So I think that is great business advice. It's great personal advice. It costs $0 and you can start doing it instantly with the very next person you talk to. Janice, you rocked it. For being brand new, I am learning a ton. I love your vibe. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. Cleaning Nation, if you want to see Janice's show notes page, along with a link to the other, the technical side of getting started, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. If you are on YouTube and you're getting value out of this, subscribe, like, engage. That is what keeps this party going. You are awesome human beings. Talk to you next time. Check out growmycleaningcompany.com. I'll see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.